Okay, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for today, and we pray you bless us. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, that we would see everything we've been looking at differently. I pray you would open our eyes that we may see everything we're looking at differently. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your pen. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. One more time. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And just as a little note, as you're turning there, my Marine buddy reminded me. I'll make this into a real story, another sermon. But I got to work out with some Navy SEALs on Tuesday. It was Navy SEALs and then some other administrative people down at the Navy SEAL facility. But I'll tell you more about it another time because I don't really have anything prepared to tell you other than it's painful. It's painful. I was mad. The guy said, anytime you want to come back, you can lead it. I said, I'm coming back. I'm going for the hurting on you the best I can. If I have to die to hurt you back, I'm going to die. No, it was really, really a lot of fun. Really a lot of fun. Lord, we just thank you again. Amen. I just remember we prayed. So yeah. When I was about 18 or so years old, I witnessed a shooting. A friend of mine's dad shot another friend of mine. I was at a basketball, at a park in our neighborhood, and there were about a couple hundred kids there every night in the summertime, and all of a sudden, every song was running and screaming, and my friend's dad ran by me with a gun in his hand, and he ran past me, up some steps, and then he ran along the side of the basketball court and pointed the gun down to another level of a play area and shot a couple of shot times. So I walked down the steps to look where he shot. Another friend of mine was laying on the ground. He didn't die, but he was definitely shot in the chest. He was a bully, and he was bullying that man's son, and that man was a cop. So I had to go to testify a year later or so. I was in college. I think I was in high school when it happened in college. When I had to go testify, I had to sit in court and say, yes, that's him, and here's what I saw, blah, 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 blah. Two questions for you, two statements. One, if you were called to testify about Jesus, his faithfulness, his love, his power, his integrity, how good would your testimony be? How effective? Would it convict Christ of being God? Or would he'd be let off because you didn't have enough evidence? Number two, today we're going to learn about two witnesses on Jesus' behalf to us that Christ, God, has placed in our life, and they've been witnessing to us about God every day of our whole life. Since the second you were born until the second you die, these two witnesses have been speaking to you every day, 24 hours a day, and you've been watching it and hearing it, but I don't know if you know what he's saying. And what's important for us to understand is what these witnesses have been saying. We're going to start to begin to understand tonight, not only for our own encouragement and sense of security, but so we can tell and share that witness to the friends that we have that don't know Christ. You need to understand this because God has said, I'm sending these two witnesses, and he has sent many witnesses to us, but I'm sending these two witnesses to you, and they're going to speak to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without fail, and they're going to communicate things to you need to understand. Now, a couple things about the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is structured like an ancient treaty. If a king in ancient times would conquer a land, he would establish a treaty with those people, and the treaty would have a certain structure. The first part of the treaty would be a prologue and basically say, I've been a good God, or I'm a good king. In this book, first three chapters, God says, I'm a good God, and I've been very good to you, Israel. The second part of the contract or the treaty would be the stipulations and the new laws. And in this book, chapters 4 to 26, we have the laws of the land. And the laws that God and the rules that God gives them said you must obey these rules. Next part of the tree is the document clause. It says you need to read the rules and read the laws on a regular basis. You need to know them. What we're going to look at today are the witnesses. A king would say, I'm giving you these rules. I'm giving you, we have a contract that describes our relationship, and I'm calling my gods as witnesses against you. In other words, my gods, the gods I believe in, whether they're false or real, they're false because there's only one true God. But my gods are going to be witnesses against you that if you do anything, they're going to tell me. And they're also going to be witnesses to the fact that we had this conversation. You can't say we didn't know. God is doing the same thing to us. He told the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy, you're getting ready to go into the promised land. You're on the east side of Jordan. You're going to go to the west side. And when you go on the west side of Jordan, here are the rules of how you need to live. Here are the guidelines for how you need to be my people. Here's how you need to behave. Here's how you need to trust me. Here's what obedience is about. Here's the blessings that come with obedience and the curses that come with disobedience. But then he's going to say, I'm calling two witnesses that are going to verify that I've told you these things, and they are going to communicate to you every single day how faithful I am. God has not left us alone. He has not left us alone without a witness. Christ is a witness, but even without that, he says, I'm going to leave these two witnesses that are going to be in your life every day, and they're going to communicate to you everything that I am. Everything that I am. All my invisible attributes are going to communicate to you and more. So we're going to look at that today. Now, if you look in your notes, there's four components to a good witness. One, a good witness guarantees the accuracy of an event. A good witness guarantees the accuracy of an event. B, a good witness adds value to the fact-finding process of a case. Adds value to the fact-finding process of the case. There are people right now, every day in your life, people you know who are searching for facts about God. They want to know, is God real? Does he love? Does he forgive? Is he powerful? Is he all-knowing? Is he patient? Can he deliver? When they watch and listen to your life, do you help them in that process? Are you helping people as they gather facts? And by the way, everybody's searching for God. Even people who say they don't believe in God, they believe in themselves. They believe in something because God made us to seek him. So people always want to know. And guess what? The question is, when they look at you, do you help them with that process? And not that you have to go around quoting scripture. Does your life bear witness to the reality of God? Not just the fact that you go to church, but how you deal with pain, how you deal with disappointment, how you deal with people stabbing you in the back. All of that, more than anything, more than your knowledge of the Bible, which you need to have. But how you deal with life bears witness to your trust in God. Do people gain information and facts by watching you? Number C. A good witness cannot be impeached or discredited. You don't want someone on the witness stand, oh, Mr. McPherson, so you saw this shooting. Yes, sir, I did. Mr. McPherson, tell us what you saw. I saw him run up, and do you know who this man is? Yes, he's right there. And how do you know him? Blah, 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 blah. Well, Mr. McPherson, do you wear glasses? Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I wear my eyesight's so bad without them, I'm practically blind legally. Mr. McPherson, did you have those glasses on the night of the shooting? Well, no. It was at nighttime, Mr. McPherson. How visually impaired are you at night without those glasses? I'm blind. I'm discredited. You don't want to be the person that, hey, I go to the Rock, I love God, and on Friday night, you're stumbling down in TJ. A friend of mine was at a club here, not condoning or condemning going to a club, but he was at a club. He wasn't there drinking. He doesn't drink. He gets in conversation with a young lady who's been drinking. They start talking about God, and somehow the Rock comes up. She says, yeah, I go to the Rock, and I know you go to the Rock because I've seen you there. So I'm having a conversation. The young lady says, I don't want to talk about God right now. He says, why not? Well, I've been drinking. It's probably improper for me to talk about God. He says, I think this is the best time to talk about God. But you need to know it. Is your witness credible? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is your witness credible? D. A good witness is willing to suffer for the sake of the cause. Willing to suffer. I called the 8 o'clock service. I believe it's 8 o'clock and 9:45, 11:30. I can't remember which one it was this morning. I called a lot of them a liar today. I said, you guys are liars. And I'm judging you. The reason I did, and I explained to them why I did, because I asked them, how many of you in here are not concerned with being comfortable all the time and you're not wanting to be, and only like five people raised their hand? I know they're lying because I know all of us here want to be comfortable. We don't want God to inconvenience us. I'm not saying at all. How much are you willing to suffer for the gospel? Now, there's a theology out there, if you will, a doctrine, I should say, of eschatology, the end times, and part of the end times doctrine is that Christians are going to be raptured to heaven before the tribulation. Y'all heard that before? You heard left behind, we're going to be raptured, and we just kind of, oh, yeah, we just believe it. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I believe because it really doesn't matter for this message, but I'm going to tell you this. Don't bank on it. Here's why. Because in America, we have an American theology that because we live in America, we experience Christianity from an American point of view, which means no one gets killed here for their faith. So we assume that's the way it is. It's not reality. There's people all around the world in prison getting killed, raped, burned, hands and feet cut off because they say they're Christian. Right now, as you sit here, someone out right now is screaming because they're getting killed because they say they're Christian. A whole lot of people. So to them, the Great Tribulation has already started. We live in Disneyland, literally. And so you don't want to have in your mind, well, you know, I'm just going to live comfortable in nice San Diego and God's going to take me out before anything bad happens. Don't have that mentality. Don't have that mentality. Matter of fact, I heard there's a senator, someone in politics who is a Muslim. And I believe he's a senator. He was just elected, first Muslim government official elected in this country. And he suggests that when the president is inaugurated, he should put his hand on the Quran. Let me tell you something. When God's witness is gone, God's blessing's gone. It's almost like every month I hear that something in America that says it ain't going to get any worse. If that happens, watch out. Whew, watch out. Now, the reason I say all this is the question is how much are you willing to suffer for your faith? How much are you willing to sacrifice? How much inconvenience are you willing to take? Because if you read the Bible, these people died. These people died. Well, see, we don't know anything about that, so we're soft. Someone just yells at us, and we're like, I'm not really saved. I just go to church every now and then, you know. No, God wants to know who you're going to stand up for your faith. Okay, now, and you know, God always says it needs to be two witnesses. Deuteronomy 17:9 says on the testimony of one or two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but not on the testimony of one man. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, do not entertain an accusation against the elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. You just have those. You don't have to look those up, but I have them written in your thing. There's always two or three witnesses. You never want to listen to one person tell you something. Hey, guess what I heard about so-and-so? And you go, oh, yeah, huh, that's true, huh? Don't listen to that stuff. Because, just don't. Especially if it's something against somebody else, you don't need to know. You know, I was talking to some people in the military about some stuff, and we were just talking about stuff, and they said, we're on a need-to-know basis. We are only told the things we need to know. Isn't that such a great policy? Why do you need to know what you don't need to know? You know what I mean? All of y'all really don't need to know anything about someone else's garbage. Pretty much. Think about all the gossip you hear. Do you really need to know it? Then don't listen to it. Really. Matter of fact, I would challenge you this week. This has nothing to do with the message, but just challenge you this week. Whenever you start someone's telling you something, actually, if I don't need to know this, I should stop this and get out of this conversation and not waste my time with garbage in my head. And what God is saying here is, unless you got two or three people are going to come to you, and then you got to go to that person and find out what's the really story. So what God is telling us that two or three witnesses, minimum. So what God is going to do, he's established two witnesses for the sake of this message that are going to watch us, and they are heaven and earth. They've been watching you every day. They've been speaking to you every day. A whole lot of information that you might not be aware of, but God has been communicating to you volumes about himself through heaven and earth. Everyone say heaven.
Heaven.
Say it one more time.
Heaven.
And earth. E-R-F. Say earth.
Earth.
Say it again.
Earth.
Very good. Let me read a verse to you. I mentioned it to you last week, Romans 1:20. Let me read it to you one more time. Romans 1:20 says, and then we'll get into our message. It says, for since the creation of the world, everyone say creation.
Creation.
God did not, it did not happen by accident. God created it. Now, could he have created it with a big bang? He could have, but we're going to talk in a few minutes about how big that bang had to be. Boom. Since the creation of the world, say creation, please.
Creation.
Creation, please.
Creation.
Very good. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities or attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, his invisible qualities, his wisdom, you can't see wisdom, but you see what it does. His strength, you can't see strength, but you see what it does. His strategizing, organizing capabilities, you can't see, but you see what it does. His love, his creativity, his artistic talents, his patience, his power, his faithfulness. You can't see that, but you see what it does. The Bible says, since the creation of the world, heavens and the earth, his invisible attributes are crystal clear. Being understood from what has been made, that if you study what God made, his invisible attributes are crystal clear, so that man is without excuse. What does that mean? That God is saying, I have spoken so clearly to you and revealed so clearly to you my invisible attributes that if you study them, you are without excuse to acknowledge that I exist. I never knew anything about Jesus, never read the Bible, and I just had this, and you know, I didn't think there was a God. God said, no, it's not good enough. Heaven and earth, speak. And heaven and earth will speak and testify as a witness. Oh yeah, we revealed this information to everybody for their whole life, God. And God's going to say, I knew because I made you that way. Number one, in your notes, heaven and earth are witnesses to God's power. Everyone say power. Therefore, confront your obstacles with confidence. Say power. Ooh, you don't even know what power is. You don't know what strength is. The Navy SEAL thing I did, it was Navy SEALs, like I said, some other people, and the guy was a little Popeye dude who was leading the little PT thing. We did all this, you know, it was just ridiculous. After we did all this stuff, warmed up with like 50 jumping jacks, and we did 10 jumping jacks, 10 push-ups times 10. So we did 100 each. Then we did buddy carry. We had to carry dudes like the length of this room, and it was all done in the sand. Then we did a couple of those. Then we ran over this hill. The sand hill was about 15 feet high and then about 40 feet down the incline and back. We did about 6 of those. Then we did all these like 3 sets of dips, and then we did this obstacle course, and then we did this squat thrust and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, I ain't in the military. Why am I doing all this carrying, dude? And he said, when you carry me, you got to put your arm around, grab the arm and grab the leg and arm with one hand so you can run like this and shoot a gun. I'm like, I ain't got no gun. I was like, So little Popeye dude, he was just all smiling the whole time, all yoked out. This is why I want to go back, because I want to get him. He's a Christian too. He's a cool dude, but the dude was in shape. So he said, okay, now here's what we're going to do. We're all under these chin-up bars. Chin-ups are hard. You know, and, you know, I got shoulder injuries in addition to that. But even if I didn't, I couldn't do what he was getting ready to do. He goes, we're going to do one chin-up and one push-up. 2 chin-ups. 2 push-ups, 3 chin-ups, all the way up to 10, and then back down. I was like, I can already tell you now I ain't doing that. I don't even need to try to get tired of prove to you I can't do that. He says, well, if you can't do it, just hang. So I was like, that
that was hard. My shoulders are like, rah, 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 rah. And he's just up there going, and the thing that killed me, the dude's out loud.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, on the ground. 1, 2, 3. Well, I hate this dude. So he goes all the way up to 10. That's 55 in one direction. It's 110 if you go back down. And he said, all right, we'll stop right there. Okay. I was like, yeah. So we're doing all this stuff. Trying to think what the relevance of that story was. I was trying to fit it in there somehow. Oh, here's how. I'm like, this guy's really going to do all these chin-ups. He's strong. That was strong. To me, I'm going to show you strong to God. The earth. The earth, the diameter of earth, the diameter of a circle is the line through the center to each end. Circumference goes around. Diameter goes through the middle. The diameter of the earth is 7,900 miles, almost 8,000 miles. 4,3900 to the middle. The earth turns, it takes 24 hours to turn around. It orbits around the sun. It takes 365 days to go around the sun. And the earth is traveling at a speed of 18.5 miles per second. So right now, you're spinning around, orbiting around the sun, and going at 18.5 miles per second. And you don't even know it. You'll go to bed and I go, you have no motion sickness. You're not dizzy. Because God got it all under control. So smooth. Better than a Lexus. It's just... Did you know, and be honest, if you knew this, raise your hand. And I'm going to be honest. How many of you knew that the core of the earth is the size of the moon and it's rotating at a speed faster than the outside of the earth? Y'all were here this morning. You're cheating. The core of the earth is rotating faster than the outside of the earth. Huh? That's right. Did you know that you ever hear the bottomless pit? You ever hear when you're a little kid, hell's down there? Well, here's a fact about down there. It's hot. It's hot. And it's a bottomless pit. What does that mean? Well, just imagine a basketball. Imagine a basketball is the center of the earth. When you fall into the basketball, you're going down, but as soon as you pass the middle, you're going back up the other side. You never get to the bottom. That's freaky. So there is a bottomless pit that's really hot in the center of the earth. That's a fact. Just think about that. The earth weighs 6.5 times 10 to the 21st power tons. That's heavy. Just say heavy.
Heavy.
You know, you know, however you felt on Thanksgiving, just multiply that. 6.58 times 10 to the 21st tons, 70% of it is water, spinning around, moving at 18.5 miles per second, and that's where we live. And all you know is that we're just sitting here. Power. Thunder and lightning. At every given second, every second of every day, there are 100 lightning bolts that hit the ground. Every second of every day, 100 lightning bolts hit the ground, and every minute there are 1,000 lightning thunderstorms happening on this earth. Lightning and thunder is not completely understood, but when lightning strikes, it is as hot as the surface of the sun, and it heats up the air around it, and it turns the air around the lightning bolt into plasma, and when the air is converted, it expands, it goes bam, and you hear thunder. And when the devil messed up, the devil was thrown out of heaven like lightning. Whack! That was a fast staff meeting right there. Ain't no time to be... You ain't cleaning out your desk. No time to say goodbye. For your information, the devil was an angel. He was God's chief angel, and he was given a very high responsibility. And it went to his head, and he says, "I want to be God." And God said, "I don't think so." Clack. Homie, don't play that. Y'all know homie? A solar flare, the sun. The sun is 109 Earths can go across the face of the sun. 1.3 million Earths can fit inside the sun. You sit out there and go, "Oh, it's such a nice little orange ball. Make me brown." The sun is 93 million miles away, on average between 91 and 94 million miles away. The solar flares on the sun, they burn up millions of miles. Those things are millions of miles high. And there's enough energy in one of them to provide the United States with all the power it needs for 20 years. Power. God is saying, "Do you have any idea how big I am? You have any idea how powerful I am? No, you are clueless. And tell me what you worry about." Space Nebula. Horsehead Nebula. Now, I got to do some math for you. A light year is a distance light takes light to travel a year. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And if you multiply all the numbers, if you calculate all the numbers of seconds in a year, you multiply those seconds times 186,000, and that you those are the miles that light travels in a year. It ends up being 5.8, not million, not 5.8 billion, not 5.8 trillion, but 5.8 quadrillion. You can't say quadrillion without popping your head. It's too big. It's like 5.8 quadrillion miles is a light year. Are you with me on that? You got to take a couple sandwiches on that trip. That right there is 1,500 light years away. Do you have any idea how much 1,500 times 5.8 quadrillion is? Neither do I, because I don't even know what you call that number. It's something big. That is 3.5 light years long. That's big. Everyone say Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse. There is a star, you know the constellation Orion? You ever hear that? No? Oh, somebody said no. But anyway, the constellation Orion is like the bear hunter or something. He has a star in his armpit. It's called Betelgeuse. Now, I want you to think with me now. You got the Earth, little dot, 100 times big as the sun, 93 million miles. Are you with me? 1.3 million of these Earths can fit in this sun. Are you with me? Okay, watch this. We think this is big. This is Earth. This is 100 times bigger, 93 million miles. Are you with me? Yes. Betelgeuse is so big, they're not completely sure how big. It's anywhere between 600 to 1,000 times bigger than the sun. But on average, it's big enough for if you put the sun, which is 100 times bigger than the Earth, in the middle of the star Betelgeuse, and you had the Earth rotate around the sun, it would fit inside Betelgeuse. That means that if you went outside tomorrow and saw the sun, that all the distance between us and the sun, 93 million miles, is only half of the star. And the other half of the star is on the other side of the sun, the same distance we are from the sun, because we're going around the sun. And Betelgeuse is 600 times brighter than the sun. Well, how come we don't see it? Because it's 427 light years away. There's stuff so big and bad out there you ain't never imagined. I can't even imagine something that big.
They're hot. Now, the Big Bang, hey, you can go with the Big Bang. But where did the bang come from? And where did the stuff that got banged in come from? That's even bad ebonics. Because you got rocks, moons, planets and moons, rocks. Some are hot, some are cold. Some have rings. Then you have stars that are made of gases. How did all that stuff happen? And you got space nebula clouds, space clouds called nebulas. Then you have black holes that are areas in space that are, the gravitational force is so strong that radio waves and light waves can't even come out. They just go in and stay in. What's in there? How did all that form, all that order and variety form from one explosion? And even if it did, because God could have done it through a Big Bang. He could have done it through a Big Bang. But where did the material, the gases and the materials come from to get banged in? And do you have any idea how big that bang would have had to be? That's a Big Bang to make the universe expanding at the speed of light right now and spread all that stuff out that far. That is an incredible amount of power. And they want you to believe that it came from nothing. No one did it. Nothing did it. It just happened by itself. Police! I was on Fox News debating an anthropologist from, I think, UCSD. USD, UCSD, one of those schools. And we were debating intelligent design. It was like a 3 or 4 minute interview discussion. And at the end of the discussion, he says, well, it looks like you and I believe the same thing. I said, oh, no. I said, no. Talk to the hand. You didn't explain where everything came from. Where does everything come from? I mean, you talked about evolution, all the stuff about, you know, all the stuff evolving. We'll get to that in a minute. But where did all that stuff come from? Well, yeah, that is a good point. I said, that's right. It's a good point, brother, because there is no answer but God. You can't just start with something. You can't walk up to the house and say, okay, there's my house. Well, where'd it come from? Who put the microwave? Who picked the color carpet? Who put the furniture? Who put the pictures on the wall? Who picked the appliances? Who put the irrigation and the plants in and the pool? Who did all that? You got lights on the outside of the house. Who hooked all that, the cable up? You got even TiVo. Who put the TiVo in? Well, it just kind of happened. Number one, you are a good witness to trust God's power when you follow him fearlessly into the impossible. Whatever that says. In other words, when people watch you follow God into the impossible, they scratch their head and say, and you say, I trust God. If you are someone to say, I have to have all the answers and this is too big, what you're telling God is he can't do it. Or you just don't believe him. Huh? Because he can do it. But when I look at that, you know, I always talk about watching the Discovery Channel and Animal Planet. That's why. This stuff is fascinating to me. This stuff is amazing. And so when you watch that stuff and you see what God has done and how he has done it, you're like, wow. Look at number two. Heaven and earth are witnesses to God's provision. Therefore, stop worrying about him being able to provide for your needs. Heaven and earth testify every day that God provides for needs. God provides. Every day, heaven and earth saying, I provide. I make life. I provide life. I create life. I sustain life. I grow plants. I feed animals. I feed fish. I feed birds. I feed bugs. Every day, heaven and earth is saying that to us. You see green grass out there? How is that grass green? It ain't by you. How are those trees growing? It ain't by you. How do the birds eat? It ain't by you. By God. By God. How do you know when to hibernate, where to hibernate? And when a bear hibernates, you know the bear A bear has the ability to recycle its own urine. One hibernates. Can you do that? Let me read some stats to you. There are 950,000 species of insects. Look at that. Let's think about it. What does that tell you about God right there? He's artistic. He's gentle. He got a feminine side. He's color coordinated. You understand what's going on? Is that God? Can you see God there? Can you imagine what it took for God to make that? There are 950,000 species of insects, 10,000 species of birds, 1.2 million species of animals, and 29,300 species of fish. That's what we know about. And guess what they do? Just what the Bible says. They mate and produce after their own kind. If someone wants to tell you that those fish have ever been observed to make anything other than those fish, they lie to you. It's never happened. They want that to happen. They speculate that it happened, but they never seen it happen. Frogs make frogs. Fish make fish. People make people. Now, macroevolution is when they say one species goes to another. That's never been observed. What we observe is what the Bible says, that species make species. Microevolution is when species, there's variation within a species. In other words, all the cats, you got tigers, lions, kitty cats. That's one species. They got all kind of variation. We got that. Look around the room. There's variation right in this room. That's microevolution. We see that every day. God says, I make fish. Insects. I know we don't like bugs. God made a whole bunch of bugs. And if you study bugs and what they can do and how sensitive their sense of smell is, their sense of sight, and how incredible their survival skills are, you would respect them. I respect bugs. I respect everything God made, bounce with you. One of my favorite, the baddest dudes around are roaches. Hey, you can say what you want. True story. My wife and I, we were dating at the time. I was like 20, 21, something. We were in college before I got saved. We went to school in Connecticut, about an hour, 10 train ride from Manhattan. We went down to a club there one night. We were walking. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, walking down the street in Manhattan. I'm just kind of walking, you know. I'm walking with her, no lie, and I hear this. So I'm like, what's up, what's up? Because no one was around. I'm like, all right, you know, so I keep walking. Out of here. Turn around. Two roaches. On the sidewalk, walking. No lie. No lie. We're walking. We hear the scratching. We stop. They stop. We kept walking. They walk. My wife was here this morning. I said, do you remember that? She said, yeah, I remember that. You could step on them. They just go. Plants. Did you know that an apple is an ovary? Fruits and vegetables are ovaries. They have the seed in them. They are. Now, I want you to think with me. I want to explain something to you, and I want you to think with me, and I want you to consider God in what I'm telling you. Because this is the kind of stuff that we look at every day and take for granted. Everyone say information.
Information.
Say information.
Information.
It's the same thing. Think of an apple, and you can multiply this with every fruit and vegetable. The apple falls on the ground, has a seed in it. Seed goes in the ground. The seed has information in it. Seed technology. And the technology in the seed is such that it can go in the ground, draw out of the dirt, everything it needs with water and sun when it breaks the earth to grow and produce a tree or bush or plant that produces more ovaries. Are you with me? You can't do that. You can't do that. Make a tree. Make a tree that makes fruit and vegetables. Now, if you took the information from the seed, you could do that. But where did that information come from? Hey, it gets better now. A plant is a living thing that makes its own food. You don't make your own food. You buy your food and prepare it. Plants make their own food from the sun, photosynthesis, blah, 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 blah. And they make their own food. And they do their own thing right here, all up in here. They don't need to go out and get it from nowhere. It's all up in here. So the seed has the ability to grow this plant that makes its own food, which you can do, and then produce these ovaries. And by the way, here's where it gets. The ovaries have in them the nutrients, specific, select nutrients from the ground that you and I need to eat. And it has it in them in a form that our bodies can process. In other words, if you just took dirt and ate it, your body wouldn't be able to get out of it what it needed. You would get sick. So what the seed does, the seed says, I'm going to take out of the ground what you need, one of the things you need, or one of the two of the things, not everything, because every fruit and vegetable has something different. I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to put it in a form that you can eat, and it's going to taste good. And it's color-coded. You ever go to Vons? Ralph's? Yes? You have reds, yellows, greens, oranges, pinks. You got smooth. You got rough. You got bumpy. You know when it's ripe. You know when it's not ripe. They change color. It's all color-coded. Why? So God, we can group them together so we know what we got. Where'd all that come from? That information. How did the seed know to take out of the ground what we need to eat? And how did the seed know to make it in a way we would not only be able to process it, but make it such that it tastes good? God. Walk by it every day. Don't even just take it for granted. It's all just happened by nothing. Just happened. And God's like, breaking my heart. Heaven and earth has been talking to you. You don't even hear it. You don't even hear it. Did you know that when you eat an orange, has pulp in it, it has sugar. If you drink orange juice without the pulp, actually orange juice, though it tastes the bomb, it's not really good for you because it's like taking an injection of sugar. But when you eat an orange, the pulp regulates how much sugar gets into your blood. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to say it again because I don't think you got it. When you eat a Snickers bar, sugar goes right into your veins and you're like, it's poison. Tastes good though, but it's poison. When you drink straight orange juice without the pulp, it's a similar thing. You get straight sugar. Don't be deceived that it's an orange because you're not using it the way God intended. But when you eat the orange, the pulp holds the sugar and regulates how much you get so you don't get this shot. God. How did the seed know that? God. 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 That's why some foods have fiber for our digestion. Some foods have vitamin this, vitamin that. Some foods have stuff for your brain, stuff for your eyesight. It's all, everything that we need is all there. How? Who coordinated all that? God. Because he knew how he made us. Heaven and earth. Without the sun, none of those things live. Without the sun, none of those things live. God. You ever see a bee? You ever see a bee?
Yeah.
You ever notice a bee's legs are hairy? No? You never notice a bee's body's hairy? You know why it's hairy? Because they don't shave. A bee, which the way it's designed should not be able to fly, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. The bee flies, bzz, big old fat bumblebee, little tiny wings. It goes into the plant, right? And by the way, they're attracted by the plant. We don't want to get into the symbiotic relationship, interdependent relationship between insects and plants. It's a whole different deal. He goes into the plants, he gets a little nectar, and then he goes to another one. Then he goes to another one. Then he goes to another one. Then he goes back to the beehive. And they do the little dance. Two things about bees. One, when a bee finds some place to go to do their thing, they come back into, they send a scout out. This is fascinating. The bee comes back into the beehive, and the bee communicates to all the other bees where they need to go by dancing. This is true. Don't laugh at me. This is true. The other bees go, I got it. I got it. And they go out and they fly. Now, watch this. This is... The bee is giving coordinates based on the position of the sun. As the sun moves, the bee changes the coordinates. He's in the hive. But that's not what I wanted to originally tell you. Remember the bee? The bee's hairy legs? Every time he goes into a flower, he gets pollen on his legs. By accident, but by God's design. And then when he goes to another plant, he pollinates that plant. By accident, but by God's design. So even though he's getting what he wants, God's putting on his legs all the pollen from the other bees, and it's going from one plant to another, and they're pollinating each other. Whew. He don't even know it. I've actually no bees ever known that his whole life. But I could be wrong. 2A. You are a good witness of his commitment to provide for you when you are generous with what you have. You are a good witness to God's ability to provide when you don't hoard to yourself. How many of y'all ever seen someone eat food like this? You probably wondered, were they in love with the plate? They're like, I don't want no one taking my food. Some people live life like this. Everything they got, they're like this. They got to hold on to it because they don't trust God. Let go. If God is providing for all those animals, birds wake up every day singing. They don't have any food. Every day they wake up, they don't have any food. And they wake up before you wake up. If I had to wake up before I woke up, I'd be mad. They wake up before I wake up and they're singing. You ain't never seen a bird going, oh, the world's gonna get a worm. They wake up going, tweet, tweet. You know why? Because God has never failed to take care of them. Ever. And he loves us more. 3. Heaven and earth are witnesses to God's constant presence. Therefore, trust you are never alone. He says he will never forsake you or leave you. I want to challenge you this week to try to walk off the earth. Try to run off the earth. Try to jump past the sky. You can't. If you go to New York, Hawaii, Israel, Russia, China, the ground is there. We're waiting for you. It's already there. Everywhere you go, the ground is there. Just like God. He's there. He's everywhere. I drove all the way to New York, there and back, a long time ago. The roads connect all the way to my house. There's ground everywhere. Everywhere you go, the sun's watching you. The Son of God is watching you everywhere you go. Sun comes up, sun goes down every day. When the sun comes up, all the living things wake up and they open to the sun and they provide life. And then when the sun goes down, all of them go to sleep and the nocturnal things come out and do their thing according to the moonlight. The Bible says God gave us the greatest light in the day and the lesser light at night. That's what the Bible says. That's what we see. The Bible says God created animals and plants after their own kind, with seeds after their own kind. We have seeds. The animals have seeds. The plants have seeds. You call it a sperm or a seed, it's the same thing. And it has the DNA of that animal to make that animal or plant. That's it. We never see anything different. It's all just like God said. And it has information that will boggle your noodle. We do not understand DNA. We just know it is deep. And so what God is saying here is that heaven and earth bear witness to you that I can do whatever I want, that I have done more than you can ever ask for. I have accomplished things bigger than and solved bigger problems than you ever will have. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, if that's true and I'm doing it every day for your whole life and been doing it for thousands of years, why can't I do it for you? That's what he's saying. So what's your problem now today? You don't have a bigger problem than he got big. You do not have a problem too big for him. And if you were to die right now and say, God, I didn't trust you, he's going to say, heaven and earth, please speak. Bears, tell him how I care for you. Do you know the grizzly bear? I was in Alaska. I talked to the guy in Alaska. There's only one guy up there. And I was in Anchorage, Alaska, and I said to this friend of mine who was up there at the time, I said, you know, I want to see a grizzly bear. He said, no. If you see a grizzly bear and you're not in the zoo, your life is in danger. I was like, come on. I don't want to see one. He goes, you don't understand. If you see a grizzly bear and you're not in the zoo and it's alive, your life is in danger. I was like, come on. He goes, okay, go to there's a mall in Anchorage, Alaska. I think it's called the Sears Mall. Has anybody been there? Is it called the Sears Mall? Do you know? Do you know the cage with the bear in it? Okay. In the mall in Alaska is a glass cage with a grizzly bear in it. And he's like this. He's dead. He's standing up. He's about 8 or 9 feet tall. They get to about 10 feet. Their head can reach a basketball rim. You could tell I was a tourist because I was like this for 5 minutes. You the man. My head was right around his stomach. That's how big he was. And he was like this. His paws, his claws were up to 9 inches long outside of his paw. Razor sharp. His head, no exaggeration, was like this big. Can you show the tiger? You don't believe me. Look at this tiger's head. Tell me how big you think this is. This ain't no little kitty cat. Is that beautiful or what? Tell me that wasn't designed and painted. Well, it just kind of evolved over millions of years and kind of adapted. Hey, that ain't no adaptation. That guy, that boy was created. That's a bad brother right there. He will eat you. This grizzly bear can run as fast as the fastest human. Grizzly bear can run as fast as the fastest human. And I'm not talking about on a track. I'm talking about through the woods. Y'all be running through the woods. He's like, waka, 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 waka. What's the relevance? is that when you leave today, you will be surrounded by testimony of God's existence, his faithfulness, his size, his power. When you drive home in your car, you are driving on God's witness. When you look in the sky and see the moon and the stars, you are seeing God's witness. Matter of fact, is it a full moon? Anyone see the moon when you came? It's full moon. Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's no mystery. Everyone is common knowledge. The moon is full tomorrow. Is it completely full tonight? Tomorrow will be completely full. And you'll see it over the next 15 days. It'll disappear. It'll get smaller, smaller, smaller. And you'll have a new moon, which you won't see it at all. And then it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. And in 30 days or so, it'll be full again. It happens every month. For your whole life, it's been doing that every single time. It gets smaller and bigger. And every 30 days it's gone. Every 30 days it's full. And smaller and bigger. Smaller and bigger. Why? Because God's faithful. And the night animals depend on that light. I was driving home one day, and I looked out my window. I was driving. It was late. It was from a church service. And I was driving late, 9:30 something. I was driving home, and I was going up the hill, and on the opposite side of the street was an owl, and he was flying parallel to where I was driving. And he was, I'm guessing, this big. I couldn't tell, but I was scared because it was real quiet. And there was nobody on the street, so I slowed down to drive the same speed of the owl and rolled my window down. And he was going like this. So I'm driving next to him. Now, you have to understand something about owls. Their feathers are frayed, so there's no sound when they fly. If you had a parrot in here, it'd be all loud. But an owl can fly across this room and you'll hear nothing because they have to sneak up on stuff at night. They're designed that way. If they spent 2 years evolving and couldn't sneak up on stuff, they'd die. They'd be extinct. They were made that way. So they go, so I'm driving. And I'm like just looking at this owl, driving up, looking at him. Because he's like right there. Like where that wall is. And then he turned and flew over my car. Oh, and now you have to understand, they look like they got their head cut off because they got a flat face and it's white like they're like a ghost. And so he's flying at me and I'm like trying not to scream because I was so scared. I was like, he's going to come in my car and just start eating me, right? And I have a window and I was like, ah! And he flew right over my window and you couldn't hear anything. And he went, and I was like, ah. You know what God said to me? Did you check that dude out? He was cool, huh? Do you know that owl? This is God talking to me. See how silent he was? I made him that way so he could sneak up on little stuff at night. You know why his face is flat? Because his face is like a radar and it receives sound and it funnels it into his ears, which are in the front of his face. And he can hear stuff moving in the bushes. And he can just fly, stealth, kill it. I was like, you're the bomb, God. He says, I know. I know. Do you know? Do you know? Try to jump off the earth. Try to escape the heavens. And when you realize that you can't escape the heavens, when you realize that the earth supports you day and night, then you realize you cannot escape God's presence and he is the one who holds you up every day. Then you realize that his witness is going to bear witness to you. Yes, I am true. And everything this book has said is true. So my encouragement to you is twofold. One, ask God to open your eyes that you may see his witness. And that through seeing that witness, you will gain confidence that he is who he says and you can trust him. And number two, start to learn what's out there. So when your friends say, well, I don't believe it's God, you tell them about the heavens and the earth. Tell Tell him to look at the sun. Ask him where it came from. Tell him how big it is. Tell him about the plants. Tell him about the ground. God made it all. It sustains life every day without man's intervention. Matter of fact, man's one messing it up. If we weren't here, be fine. Be beautiful. More beautiful than it is. I went into a redwood forest one day. I was in Eureka, somewhere up in North California. And the guy says, before I take you to the airport, I need to take you to the redwood forest. I said, why? He says, you just need to see it. I said, I've seen forests before. He said, no, you ain't. You never seen a forest like this. So he drove me into the middle of the woods. He said, can you just get out and walk in there 5 minutes? I said, you ain't going to do nothing to me, are you? He said, no. I walked into the woods, and I was in there for like a half an hour, like this. Trees were like 20 feet wide, 200 feet high. God said, it's my land. Man, he didn't touch this. If you would let God have his way with you, nothing he can't do. The next time you say, my problem's too big, I don't get it, God's like, shut your mouth. Turn to the Discovery Channel and watch how powerful he made animals. Watch how much he provides for them. I'll tell you this last little story. Sometimes you can see God's amazing creativity in the most simple things. A jellyfish. They have no blood. They have no brain. They have no bones. And they will jack you up. You want to, I'm big, I'm bad. Brother got no bones, no brain, no blood. How do they do anything? How do they reproduce? How do they think? How do they migrate? How do they feed? You know what the Bible says? God will choose the foolish to confound the wise. And sometimes he'll take the most simple thing to boggle your mind. Why? Just to prove to you how awesome he is. And a jellyfish is 98% water. I don't get it. He goes, I know. My daughter and I, we were kayaking. My sister used to live in the Caribbean, so we went to see her. And my daughter and I went out kayaking to this way out. And my goggle fell in the water. So I jumped in the water to get it. As soon as I jumped in the water and started swimming, all these little jellyfish things started biting me. Just tearing me up. And I'm like, ah! I started, my eyes was watering, my nose was watering, my mouth was leaking, my ears, I was burning, everything was burning. And like an idiot, I kept trying to get my mask. So I got my mask, I'm swimming back, and the current is taking my daughter away. And I was really scared because it was like, you know, 20 feet deep. We were out in the ocean. But more importantly, my daughter was in the kayak. So I'm like screaming. And she's like, what? I ended up getting in there, but I was scared. This was 2 years ago. And I never saw what those things were. I bet you they were jellyfish. And they were like, go get that dude. Tell him never come back here again. They had no brain, no blood, no bones. But they sting, they communicate, they swim, they migrate, they multiply. How? You know how God can bless you. Lord, we just thank you for being God. I pray supernaturally somehow you would open everyone's eyes up to your reality. I pray that when we walk on the ground from this point forward in our whole life, we would acknowledge your presence. When we look at the sun, we would acknowledge your presence. When we look at the stars, we acknowledge your awesome power. Thank you, God. You are so awesome. And I pray that we would be confident, strong witnesses to your reality. Help us to realize these things. And help us to share these things with our friends. In Jesus' name, amen.